Please note that assistive listening devices for the use of the council chamber are available upon request from the staff in the clerk's office or down to my immediate right. I will now call on Councillor Groves to start the meeting with a prayer, and then we'll join Councillor Groves in the singing the national anthem.
Grant us, O God, perception and patience that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides, and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action, that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Nice when you got a full council. Everybody sounds good out there. Thank you very much for participating. I would like to begin to acknowledging that the land on which we gather, which is the town of Caledon, is part of the Agentis Treaty lands, the territory of the Mississaugas, the New Credit. We acknowledge all the Indigenous people who have walked this land in the past and who walk it today. We are grateful to those who have the opportunity to live and work on this land. By doing so, we give respect to our First Nations. I want to provide some context tonight to the members of the public here wondering why we're all wearing sports jerseys here tonight. Earlier this evening, Council had the privilege of attending the grand opening of the new accessible baseball diamond at the Bolton Camp. This project came out of the successful partnership between the town, TRCA, the Bolton Braves, and the Jays Care Foundation, which they contributed $150,000 towards. And we have a brand new baseball park, accessible and inclusive to all children. And it was great. We had the Caledon Challenger baseball team taking on the Brampton tonight, and it was something, it was amazing to see. And we had a number of people from the Blue Jays there as well, and it was pretty special. Now I want to take another second here for everybody's patience. I know we got a lot of things on, but this is our last council meeting. I want to recognize the service of three members of council who have chosen to retire from their positions. Fortunately, Councillor Ms. Apelli is not going to be here this evening. I want to recognize Area Councillor Doug Befford, Area Councillor Gord McClure, Ward Area Councillor Rob Misapelli. And you know, Doug Befford, you know, has served from 2006 to 2018. The previous committee involvement was Caledon Youth Services, Economic Development, Headwaters Tourism, Seniors Advisory. You were on the Headwaters Hospital as a rep there when they had a municipal rep. Hockey Night in Caledon for Bethel Coordinator, and also you've done a lot with the fire and ice in Alton. We appreciate that. But Doug, is your tenacity of keeping the golf tournament alive and making it successful was a big part of it. And Doug, what I really appreciate over the years is your voice of reason And I thank you for that, and I have a small gift for you. Gord McClure also served from 2006 to 2018. He's currently involved with the public library, but he also served on the Caledon Agricultural Advisory Committee, Eco-Caledon Grant Review Committee, Policing Advisory Committee, and the library board is, he's been a big part of that, but also on the Caledon Committee Golf Tournament, and you're a past chair of that. But Gord, I got to tell you, I enjoyed working with you. You were my partner in crime when I was the regional counselor of Ward 2. And Gord, you've been a pleasure to work with, and I want to thank you for all the years in service that you've given and served this community. I got a small token for you as well. And I have for Councillor Missapelli, he's not here, but I'd like to recognize from 2010 to 2018. He's been vice chair of the committee, the general committee at the town of Caledon, board member of the Headwaters Tourism, board member of the Bolton Business Improvement Area, member of the Seniors Task Force, member of the Caledon Golf Tournament. He's also been involved with the Active Transportation Committee, Audit Committee, Bolton BIA, which committee, grants chair, graffiti committee, heritage committee, policing advisory council, and seniors advisory council. And I always said to Rob over the years that I've worked with him as mayor, I've always considered Rob as my Spock. It was always about logic, you know, that it doesn't make logical sense, or he'd question the logic on just about everything. And, you know, that's what makes this council healthy, is everybody has a difference of opinion, respecting everybody's difference of opinion. And, Rob, you've contributed a lot, and we thank you for that as well. Moving on to council now, the disclosure of pecuniary interest, is there any? I see none. A confirmation of minutes held on the June 5th of 2018, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor McClure, that the council meeting minutes dated June 5th of 2018 be approved. All in favor? Carried. Councillor Shaughnessy, was it about this or? Okay. Is there any urgent business matters? Okay. Okay, we've got quite a few here.
Yeah.
All right. Councillor Shaughnessy.
That's why I have a motion to waive the procedural bylaw. I'm just wondering, I know everybody has some because this is our last council meeting. Can we support just waiving the procedural bylaw for all of them, or do they have to be individually waived?
I would like to do them for them all at once, just for the timeliness.
Is that allowed? Okay, great.
Yes, that's permitted. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
So I have yours, but what I'm going to do, Councillor Shaughnessy, before we deal with yours, I'm just going to ask everybody to speak to what they want to bring forward, okay?
Yeah, great. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, Councillor Downey.
Sorry, speaking to the urgent matter is that Section 7.4 of the procedural bylaw be waived to permit this matter in regarding the establishment of a scholarship as part of the Caledon Council Community Golf Tournament.
Okay. Okay, Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I have a motion that I want to speak on behalf of the Valleywood residents regarding the interchange on the McLaughlin Spine Road.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
I think you have mine there. There's two?
Okay. Do we need to declare what issues they are, or we can just...
Just
the one? And it's on the fill bylaw. Okay. I've got that one. So what we're going to do is we'll go through in the order that I've first got them. So the first one I have is with Councillor Shaughnessy. So I'll bring... Oh, first of all, I've got to wave in favor. Is everybody in favor of this? All in favor? Carried.
What? They'll stay.
Oh, sorry.
We'll go through
Councillor Ennis.
We'll add your urgent business at the end. Councillor, she has another urgent business that we'll finish at the end.
Okay. All right. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, that section 7.4 of the procedural bylaw be waived to permit urgent business matter regarding speeding limits on McLaughlin Road. Okay. Well, I think we had it all when I have already done it, but all in favor? This? Okay, we're going to go through a lot of this. Okay, it's carried. I'll now read the motion. Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Befford. Whereas the lands formerly known as Ingleview Subdivision on the east side of McLaughlin Road on either side of McColl are part of Inglewood Village, and area land is shown on the Town of Caledon Plan, Section M1. Whereas currently a school bus stop at the intersection of McLaughlin Road and McColl Drive. Whereas implementing traffic calming measures in the Hamlet community areas, including the consideration of lowering the posted speed limit where applicable, is in line to the recommendations of the Town of Caledon Transportation Master Plan approved by Council in November 2017. Whereas the current speed limit on McLaughlin Road is 40 kilometers from Old Baseline Road to McColl Drive and 60 north of McColl Drive. Now therefore it be resolved that the Traffic Bylaw 2015-058 be amended to reduce the speed limit on McLaughlin Road from McColl Drive to 100 meters north of McColl Drive from 60 to 40 kilometers to align with the Inglewood Village area, that this copy of this resolution be followed to the provincial provincial police for their information as well. Okay, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. So this is something that we were going to do, but we were sort of holding back because the lands are going to be included with the rounding out of the settlement boundary due to the Niagara Escarpment. It's been supported by the Niagara Escarpment, but they have a process that they think is going to take at least 3 years to decide how these things are going to be included. So instead of waiting 3 years for the Niagara Escarpment to figure out what that process is going to be, and it's not just for this application, it's for about 100 right across the escarpment. So they want to do one process. So instead of waiting that length of time, and we know we do have the kids, the bus stop, and not only that, McLaughlin is getting used a bit as a bypass for Highway 10 with it getting clogged down, so we got a lot of traffic going down there. So with speaking with Eric Chan, he of our traffic division, he spoke with OPP and they fully support it, and then we spoke with planning and they fully supported it also. So I'm hoping council supports it as well. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Befford.
Yeah, this is one of the issues that we've been dealing with ever since we improved Inglewood Roads back when I first became councillor. And I'm fully supportive of the motion, but what I made sure of was that we weren't doing anything contrary to what had been done in the reviews. And so I just want to share the information that I received back today, which just clarifies that it's okay to go ahead with this motion. NEC has already approved the inclusion of the McColl subdivision area into the minor urban boundary of the Niagara Escarpment Plan. And as a town, we will modify the Inglewood settlement boundaries as shown in our official plan to reflect that provincial change. And that'll be part of our official plan review process, so planning doesn't see any pitfalls in working with the signage at this particular time. So I think it's a good thing.
Okay. No further question. I'll call the vote. All in favor? Carried. Actually, I think for this one, just to send a point, I'm going to recall for a recorded vote. Councillor Shaughnessy, if you can call that?
Could we have a recorded vote, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, thank you. A recorded vote has been requested. All those in favor of the motion, please stand. Everyone standing, they carried unanimously.
Okay, the next one I have is Councillor Downey's. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the scholarship be added to the current Caledon Council Community Golf Tournament grant application process. The scholarship be named after Doug and Doreen Befford family for their outstanding contributions to the growth and success of the CCCGT, and that the staff be directed to develop criteria and launch the scholarship within the next grant application project to open December 2018. and that the criteria include the grant recipients must be from Caledon or former Caledon residents pursuing a post-secondary degree in education. The staff collect applications for scholarships for the committee consideration, and two scholarships of $1,000 each be awarded. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, it's a great honour to bring this forward in thank you and gratitude to Doug and Doreen for all they've done. And I have to apologize. I just apologize to Doug because I had to tell a little bit of a fib to get it on the agenda without him knowing. And also to Doreen for getting her here tonight so that she'd be in attendance. Just the biggest thank you to both of you and all that you've done over the years.
Okay. Sorry. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I just had a question to staff. When does, I can't remember, when does the, do we decide on the money and how it's allocated from the leftover funds?
Ms. Hare.
Through the chair to Councillor Shaughnessy, in the past, last year, we had, obviously with the election, it's going to be a little different this year. So the first meeting will be in December. So that will be when we present the financials and we let council know how much funds can be allocated towards the secondary grant process. So that will be done in December. So and then generally we open up the grant applications in December as well.
So it'll be a new council deciding?
Correct.
So could they decide, because I hate to put something on a new council, because yes, we can create a motion now, but a new council could decide not to go ahead with that motion. Is that correct? Or maybe I'm talking to the wrong person. Maybe I should be talking to the clerk.
Ms. Hare.
Through the chair, staff will have to bring forward the criteria in what the grant agreement will look like, or sorry, that's not the grant agreement, the grant application will look like, and it will be up to that council to approve that criteria.
Whether they do a scholarship or not?
Potentially they could change that decision, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor Bufford.
Well, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say that it's an honor to have this even presented. On behalf of my wife and I, who's here, it's been a labor of love. And through the golf tournament, I know when Doreen left, we were at about $950,000 that went back to the community. And places like Bethel House and Caledon Community Services and Meals on Wheels and many others have really, really benefited. So on behalf of Doreen and I, thank you very much for bringing the motion forward.
So what I'm going to do is Councillor DeBoer wants a recorded vote. Councillor Bufford, you might want to just stand down on this one.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. A recorded vote has been called. All those in favor of the motion, please stand. Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, all those opposed, Councillor Shaughnessy, and Councillor Groves. Motion carries.
Okay. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey, that $2 per cubic meter for the application permit of 2018-004 for the amount of $13,920 be refunded in full, that the staff review the fees associated with the fill bylaw for the 2019 budget. Any questions? Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. I'm here to give you advice, and I'd be remiss if I didn't give you advice. And I'm sure some member of council will not like my advice. But the reality is that's my job sometimes. I just want to inform council, without getting into the debate of the matter, that waiving fees always have a ripple effect on other applicants that may come forward. So as part of your deliberations, I would just like you to fully consider that. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McClure.
Yeah, the problem with this is the town approved this building lot,
Okay. Yeah, the problem that with this is, I think we have to go with this. Town approved this building lot, and it's going to back up water on the farm. And I think we got to approve this. This is something we have to do.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. As Councillor McClure has said, this is a little bit different. And in conversations with the bylaw administrator, Ms. Hall, we do run into this now more and more, and it is the fact that there's a natural drainage course, a field drain, that cuts across this lot now that this property has been built up and the house was approved. There wasn't any mechanism in place to maintain the drainage easement that historically would have gone across this property. I asked that staff review in conversations with Ms. Hall to review the fees, but I think the other part that's very important within the organization is that we really do need to figure out how we're going to deal with overland flow of water, because we've got a number of examples, and when I sat in our office, we came up with two or three very quickly where buildings have been approved and it happened to be on the downhill side of a drainage overland flow, and it's actually backed up or prevented water from flowing and continuing the flow that it always has. So whether there's an opportunity, and I didn't know how to craft it within the resolution, but I would hope that maybe that staff would understand this and try and figure out if there's a way to look at how to review whether properties, when they're being built on or developed or things are changed, is to maintaining the overland flow so that they don't stop up. This is one example, but there is other examples throughout Caledon, and we're going to run into more and more issues. We had 4 inches of rain last week, all in one shot, and I think it's going to happen more and more often. So the overland flows are going to be the only way that this water is going to move. We dealt with at least two flooding issues that were major this spring in my area. So I think it's an issue that we need to really start to address and look at. But the reason in this case was, like Councillor McClure pointed out, is that there was a house built, approved, and with the earthworks that went on with it, had a shut off this drainage easement, or this drainage, natural drainage swale.
Okay, thanks, Councillor DeBoer. But I think here is another challenge too. Is we've never. I'm not really big on establishing more red tape and bylaws, but we're going to have to start to establish the size of these houses that are permitted on rural lots. They're just getting way too big for the acre lots, and then all of a sudden here we are. We've got a problem, and unfortunately we have nothing with any teeth or whatever to force people to comply. So now here's an issue that we've really damaged a farmer's property, and it's just because the houses are just too big for the lots, and now we're going to have to. And I know staff are working on that, but that won't be until next year, but we've got to deal with the problem we have now. So I understand where the CEO is coming from, but I think with this one of nature, this is one we need to correct, and it wasn't their doing. It was what has been encompassed, and we had no way of correcting it. So I'll call the vote. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Gross, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, whereas the July 5th, 2018 PIC involving the Valleywood Interchange has no documentation or commenting agency specifically to that of the safety consultant. Whereas the Valleywood Resident Association has provided effective documentation and reasonable physical safety concerns, none of which have been addressed in the town's draft decision as approved by the town's retained consultants, Wood. Whereas the town council believes that all residents of Caledon deserve due diligence regarding human safety, regarding emergency services, response times, and its planning process. Whereas the town of Caledon has both moral and legal obligations to manage the risk for its constituents. Now therefore be resolved that the vote of the 2018-76 for McLaughlin, or 2006, be addressed only after written documentation of all commanding agencies, including the names and signatures appropriate rank, is approved by the town of Caledon Public record for safe designing of this project. Okay. Ms. Tollett.
Okay. Through Mayor Thompson. So the last paragraph there where it references that staff report, is a framework of zoning for Mayfield Phase 2. It's basically the overall arching framework for just zoning for each of those individual subdivisions as they come forward. As each one gets approved through the town, we'll bring forward additional reports for each subdivision, and that will specify the zoning for each individual area. Right now, that report, 76, is just the overarching framework for zoning for all the properties within Mayfield 2. Again, then later on, we'll bring a more detailed report as each subdivision gets approved for the specific zoning. As regards to the PIM that was last week for the environmental assessment or road design for McLaughlin and the Spine Road, this is just the initial meeting. That will form as part of conditions for each subdivision as it comes forward. The connection for the Spine Road is not part of the town's jurisdiction. That is really related to the MTO. But residents are encouraged just to keep sending in the comments to the town staff. We'll forward them to the MTO as part of the review of the Spine Road. And that's, again, for McLaughlin and the Spine Road and the interchange. But, again, this is initial comments. The interchange is not town's jurisdiction. We would just send the comments to the MTO. The MTO would have to approve it. And the development can't move forward until there is some agreement with the MTO for approval.
Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Ms. Tollett, you've outlined most of what I was concerned about in regards to the overarching zoning matter. As well, there are a number of kind of different pieces in play within this, and I think it's maybe been pulled together, maybe not in the most cohesive way. So I guess, you know, your explanation, I think, was good, but I'm wondering, I mean, there are some valid concerns, so recognizing those concerns within the motion is important. However, I'm wondering, like, we're being asked to vote on something that actually has multiple pieces within it, so I would have a hard time supporting something that doesn't actually fall under our jurisdiction.
Okay. Councillor Groves?
Well, I understand it's not under our jurisdiction, and I'm going to tell you, I recall, I guess it was 2009 when we were dealing with the Highway 410 extension. I mean, Highway 410 ran right into the backyards of these Valleywood folks. At that time, I brought a motion forward, and that motion stated that we reserved a swath of land for that to go straight north at some point. Ms. Colton was a lawyer at the time here and told me that that was illegal to do. Elections came, MTO came back, and MTO reserved that swath of land to go straight north. We have in front of us correspondence from these residents in Valleywood. They are very valid concerns. They want to be part of this. They are concerned about safety. They've listed a number of safety concerns in this document that they've left here for us. I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure that they are included. I understand this is an EA. How do we get them as part of this, as stakeholders, or have some sort of a status on this? Because I don't want to see moving forward what happened to them years ago with that Highway 410 happen again. And so they had concerns back then about safety, fire and emergency, and that we moved ahead. We moved ahead with MTO, and that went forward and left those folks with a whole lot of problems in their subdivision. So we should have lessons learned. And so my question is, how do we ensure that these folks in Valleywood, that their concerns that they've written here are addressed properly, and that it forms part of whatever it is we're going to move forward on that EA.
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. So I would suggest that they still submit their comments to the town. So those are formed as public record as part of the review of each of those subdivisions that they bring forward. Each subdivision, if you remember, it gets circulated to all commenting agencies, internal, which includes fire, it also includes OPP, it also includes EMS, it also includes MTO and TRCA and conservation authorities in the region. So they have an opportunity to comment on all the applications, and then the developers of each of those subdivisions have to address those concerns, no different than the MTO would have to comment on the spine road connection. So by all means, this is still early days, submit the comments. That was the initial meeting, so send that to the town. I have this correspondence, which I'll certainly forward to staff, and then we'll proceed that way.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tollett. And back in 2009, I withdrew my motion for because I was told by our lawyer that it was illegal, which it was not, and I withdrew it. These folks have been here for years and years and years about their safety, and Ms. Tollett, with all due respect, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but I need to make sure that their concerns aren't going to fall along the wayside like it did years ago, and they are left to deal with those challenges. So I'm going to let my motion stand. This is the wish of the folks in Valleywood. I am going to let it stand, and we will go from there. And I certainly can let them know that they can be part of this process and they can submit to you a formal letter stating that they want to be part of the process as everything moves forward. Each development application or whatever it is, part of the process moves forward, that they get to comment. And not just to comment, but to have some sort of status there. And I don't know how that works.
Sorry. To you, Mayor Thompson, to Councilor Groves. So if they submit it as part of the EA process, they have to comment on it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Councilor McClure.
Yeah, this is my word. And as far as I'm concerned, this is half an interchange. The MTO should be forced to make a proper interchange. It's the police chief might tell you it's safe, but it's half an interchange. The subdivisions to the west shouldn't be approved until the MTO is forced to do that. They got a pile of dirt there, and that was intended to be used for the interchange. That's obvious. It's a sore spot with me anyway. That interchange should be finished properly.
So, Councilor McClure, the other night they had a public information meeting at the Margaret Dunn Library showing what the new design that they were proposing.
Is it going to be a proper interchange? Well, it should be.
Well, it's a much different interchange, and this is their first draft that they brought out, and it's going to be a lengthy process. So this is why they brought it. But
I guess
it's being fit in with their concerns. It's not going to be addressed.
Wherever it's representing Ward 2, should darn well make sure it's done properly.
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
Should it? Anyway, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did attend that meeting, and I stayed the full 3 hours, and I heard a lot of residents who were really upset. And I could understand their concerns and why they were upset. They're upset because they've been a part of this process for like 15 years, and nothing on that drawing addressed any of their issues, not one. I stood there for 3 hours trying to redesign it myself. It did not address the fact that there's only one way in and one way out of Valleywood. Since I've been on council, I have not voted on one development that was only a one way in. It's hazardous. And they recently had an accident there with a tractor trailer and the exit was blocked. It's a very complicated interchange, what they showed. But the problem is that all the extra population are going to go onto that road, and it's going to affect Valleywood. So my concern is, to Ms. Tollett, is if these people have been advocating for 15 years or whatever, and I see nothing in what was initially proposed, where is the faith that anything they say is going to be interpreted in a new generation of that drawing? Like, it should have addressed it, every single issue. It should have addressed the safety issue. It should have addressed the second exit getting out of there. I came up with going underneath the highway to tie it into the commercial on the other side. But nothing addressed their issue. So you can understand why they're upset that they just figure it's falling on deaf ears. So how do we move forward knowing that nothing of what they said for 15 years has even been included in this drawing?
Yes, I'm going to have the CEO answer this, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Tollett has gone at it twice, but I've got a suggestion, because I'm just kind of concerned that the way the motion is written, that the first four paragraphs, they're fine. It gives the town's position. You know, we have a moral obligation, a legal obligation. If that's what council wants to agree to, then it's within your purview to do that. I guess the last paragraph I'm just a little concerned with, because I'm not sure it's giving the assurance that Councillor Groves is asking for. Because the way I read it is that the report staff only moves ahead on the report when we have the commenting agency's letters with their names and signatures and rank. Well, that's not a real safeguard to me in my way of thinking. So I'm just off the fly here trying to find something that will actually address some of the concerns that are being expressed around the table. And I'm first of all, we have to understand one thing, and one thing alone at this point, is this is not a town project, right? So everybody does understand that, correct? This is the Ministry of Transportation project. But it wouldn't be with outside your purview to ensure and ask in the last sentence that the Ministry of Transportation Ontario, or whatever the acronym stands for these days, sometimes they've changed it over the years, but MTO, would they, maybe we could request that they have a meeting with the residents, specifically with the Valleywood Residents Association, prior to them drafting a second report. And therefore, it gives the opportunity to the residents. The town is speaking on their behalf, and it gives the residents in that community an opportunity before anything gets solidified. And quite frankly, we've seen these projects before. They are a long-term in the making. So this is not going to be done in the next 12 months or 18 months or 24 months, for that matter. But I do think that if you put it in there and request the minister as well as the MTO deputy minister to ensure that the resident association has a meeting, you're requesting it, and hopefully they will oblige. So that would be my best advice to you right now, to make the motion as clear as possible. Right now I'm just concerned it doesn't give the residents, at least the last paragraph, doesn't give them that comfort. So I'll leave that for you and your deliberations on this matter.
Councillor Groves.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Galloway, and thank you for that. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. So I can put an amendment on the floor. So we'll leave all the 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we'll make an amendment that the Town of Caledon requests the Minister and Deputy Minister of MTO to meet with the Valleywood Residents Association to address their concerns with this interchange prior to the next draft.
Councillor Groves, I think that's good, because I was there and I saw where the design moved a lot of the issues to the west side where it needs to happen with a straight through. There were some good suggestions from some of the Valleywood residents and others on the east side, especially on where we could have a couple of smaller ramps for northbound and southbound. So I think it's far better than what we've been dealing with in the past. And Councillor McClure, you're correct, it's half-built, but I think there's some really good solutions in that drawing. But I think it's only fair that the residents group have a meeting with MTO to comment on it, and I think that's where it needs to be. Because unfortunately, I do agree, Councillor Groves, the way it's written, it's just not going to help them for what they're looking for. This is not going to do it. But to change it, what you're proposing, I think that's the right way to go. Councillor Downey, sorry, I didn't see you on the board.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'm happy to support the second amendment and support it as laid out then. I guess my only just note is that just in terms of actual language, if you're specifying the VRA, like that the meeting be held only with the VRA, there are lots of residents of Valleywood in the surrounding area that are not necessarily members. So, you know, like obviously you want to keep it open to everybody in the community. There are multiple stakeholder.
Can we see VRA and area residents?
Okay, perfect.
Is that okay?
Thank you.
Yep. Nancy? Okay. And I think we've got where we want to go. Okay, any questions on the motion? I think it's pretty straightforward from what I think we've got to. I don't see anything more on the board, so I will call a vote. You want a recorded vote on this or on the whole motion? Or both? Okay, but anyway, I'll call this and then we'll do. So the amendment, all in favor of the amendment? Unanimous? Good. And now we'll go back to the full motion, and I'm going to pass that over to the clerk. Learned.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called. All those in favor of the on the motion as amended? Carried unanimously.
Okay, I have another urgent business moved by Councillor Boer, second by Councillor Innes, that Section 7.4 procedural bylaw be waived to permit urgent business matter and verbal update on the Wilson land donation. All in favor? Carried. Okay. We have to? Okay. All right, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that Council move into confidential session in accordance with the Section 239 of the Municipal Act to receive advice on the subject solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for the purposes regarding a verbal update on the Wilson land donation. Okay, so Council will now move into confidential. All in favor? Sorry, got a call question. Carried. Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to read. The council will now move into a confidential session. Members of the public in attendance are welcome to wait until the conclusion of the confidential session. At this time, the public portion of the meeting will continue. Thank you, everybody. From the confidential session, moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that the town staff be directed to send correspondence to Mr. Wilson's lawyer, that Mr. Wilson, the town in agreement in principle with respect on all clauses that are under the care and control of the town, are waiting on Mr. Wilson's response. All in favor? For me? Okay.
You're missing some people there.
Okay. Is Councillor Befford? Where's?
May just.
Here he comes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, Madam Clerk, I'll let you.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called on the motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion, please stand. Carried unanimously.
Okay.
I now move to delegations. I will now call upon Bruce McCall Richmond, planner at Glenn Schnarr and Associates, to approach the podium and provide delegation concerning June 26, 2018 Planning and Development Committee report concerning staff report 2018-77, proposed Rogers Communication Telecommunication Tower, 18501 Mississauga Road. Please note, in accordance with the procedural bylaw, you're provided 10 minutes for your delegation.
Good evening, Mayor and members of Council. My name is Bruce McCall Richmond of Glenn Schnarr and Associates. The mailing address is 10 Kingsbridge Garden Circle, Unit 700 in Mississauga, Ontario. I'm here on behalf of Beacon Hall Limited, a registered owner of the property located adjacent and to the east of the proposed location of the Rogers Telecommunications Tower, referenced in Staff Report 2018-77. And currently on the consent agenda. While I had every intention of attending planning committee two Tuesdays ago, I was regrettably stuck in an elevator with no cell phone reception and was not released till later in the evening. However, my concerns still remain regarding the proposed telecommunications tower, hence my appearance before you tonight. I understand from the staff report that staff has recommended Council approve the revised location for the Rogers Telecommunications Tower. However, I feel that Rogers has not properly addressed Beacon Hall Limited's objection to the tower being proposed in its current location. Our client's original letter of objection was dated July 31st, 2017. It was sent by Borden Ladner Gervais to the applicant's consultant and to town staff. Our client never received a substantive response to that letter, nor did our client receive any notice of the proposed new location for the tower until June 25th, 2018, when it was received in an email providing notice of the Planning and Development Committee meeting scheduled for June 26th. In its July 31st letter of objection, our client insisted that Rogers install the telecommunications tower on land south of Charleston Side Road. I am concerned that the town did not have a copy of this July 31st, 2017 letter, as it is not referenced in the staff report. Furthermore, we are concerned that staff have advised Council that they have not received correspondence from members of the public in opposition to the proposal, when that is clearly not the case. As such, our client's request is that the antenna site be moved south of Charleston Side Road is not reflected in the staff report. Our client's request that the telecommunications tower be moved is not reflected in the staff report, and Rogers has offered no rationale for refusing that request. So I'm formally requesting that the item be deferred until such a time that we can all feel confident that our concerns have been addressed. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
On the tower?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I have another delegation coming forward. So I have no further questions for you at this point in time.
Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Befford. that section 7.4 of the procedural bylaw be waived to permit additional delegation from Sean Gelbreth, June 26, Planning Development Committee report concerning staff report 2018-77, proposed Rogers Communication Telecommunication Tower, 180501 Mississauga Road.
Good evening. My name is Sean Galbraith. I'm a planner here.
Hold on. Before I do that, all in favor?
Sorry, guys.
Now you can start.
Thank you. Again, my name is Sean Galbraith. I'm a planner here on behalf of the applicant, Rogers Communications. At first, I'd like to point out that this is a very important site for Rogers. There is an existing tower. So there's an existing tower at the Lafarge Quarry on McLaren, and that lease is ending. The process to terminate that lease has begun, and we're on a month-to-month, essentially. The proposed tower at the Red Arrow replaces that tower so that Rogers services can continue in the area when it's removed. If there is no replacement tower, there is no service. There is no backup tower. And also, the existing Rogers Tower contains Town of Caledon equipment on it, per a license signed in 2014. I understand that there was concerns expressed by. I apologize, I didn't catch
Beacon
his name.
Hall.
Thank you. His client, Mr. Humanic, who attended the open house and expressed his concerns about the location. And so we moved the tower on the property to address those concerns. Originally it was, as you can see on that, it was directly adjacent to his client's property. We've now moved it more than 240 meters away from his property. On the same property. I'm not sure what the grounds for his client's objections were, other than they just don't want it on this property. I don't believe any were stated. There was a concern, I think, in one of the in the letter stating that it's because of future aggregate. In the official plan, the aggregate designation is exactly the same on the south side of the road as it is on the north side of the road. And lastly, 2 weeks ago, I spoke with and we had correspondence with the attorney for his client. And originally they had said that moving the tower addressed their concerns, and then 2 hours later, we got another email saying that they weren't addressed. So I'm not sure which one to go with. I guess the latter. But we feel that this is an appropriate location. It's been well situated. There's appropriate landscaping. Staff supports the project, and I would ask that council does as well. Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
The previous delegation was talking about in the south side. Are you aware of any, has there been any consultation with you on the south side of Charleston?
No. Well, I understand that they preferred it to go to the south side, but it wouldn't address the concerns regarding aggregate. It would simply move it to somebody else's aggregate.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So through you, Your Worship, so this item was on the consent agenda, so in order to move this item forward, it would have to be moved and seconded separately.
Okay. Is there a mover or a seconder on this item?
No. So it's...
It's listed with the items on the consent agenda because this was not, this went on the consent agenda at the meeting. So in order to separate it out, we would need someone to move and second the report motion recommendation now to discuss it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Okay. There's none. Okay, we're going to go forward. I will now call on Bob Shopton to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning the June 26, 2018 General Committee report concerning staff report 2018-78 McLaren Wayside Pit update regarding financial costs. Now, Mr. Shopton, I know you have a second one after that. Did you want to do the two of them together or one separately?
Yeah, I will combine them and I probably will not speak for the whole time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor Thompson and Council. My name is Robert Shapton. I am a resident of Caledon now for 30 years, living on Escarpment Side Road. I am really very reluctant to be here, but unfortunately, I have observed over the past several years some very disturbing activity to do with the so-called wayside pit on McLaren Road in Ward 1. I have shared with you all documentation of the highly questionable process initiated more than 8 years ago, along with a far from complete list of questions this process has raised in the minds of people who follow these things. I also provided a summary of a large amount of very revealing material obtained through an FOI request. I trust you have read this material and carefully considered the implications of what is revealed therein. Right? I wonder, do you find the manner and detail of the town's participation in this process in accord with the standards of conduct expected of councillors and staff? Well, I don't. If you found this process unacceptable as you became aware of it over the past number of years, the simple question is, did you do anything about it? And if not, why not? The positions that you inhabit as Caledon councillors and staff bring with them serious responsibilities, both legal and ethical. When considered in that light, have you executed your roles honorably and to the best of your abilities? Are you proud of what has occurred here? It appears to many of us that there has been, at the very least, a dereliction of duty or negligence, if not downright malfeasance. Do you have more accurate words for what has occurred? How would you define it? This appears to be far more than a series of unfortunate or unplanned errors. For example, what does it tell you when a search for, quote, wiggle room, end quote, is undertaken between two officers of the MNR and apparently condoned by many others involved in an effort to circumvent clear laws and regulations? And remember that the acknowledged, quote, wiggle room was sought even while many objections were being expressed, both by citizens and MNR officials. Surely some of you and your predecessors must have known what was going on and what the true motivations were. And it also appears that at least a portion of Caledon's staff knew and actively participated. It is unacceptable that many of us see this behavior and are expected to silently tolerate it, which is why I'm here tonight. The damage done by this sort of activity is not limited to the immediate issue of the McLaren pit. It fundamentally affects the basic trust and respect that public bodies and administrations such as yours need to scrupulously maintain in order to effectively represent your constituents. With an election fast approaching, some of you will be seeking another term and others will not. Regardless, it is time for each of you to consider your reputation and legacy. Will it be a record of ethical behavior or expedience? I want to request that this sad chapter be brought to a transparent close. I have asked a number of questions. You've all seen them. I was promised answers in, quote, a week or so, end quote, after the committee of the whole meeting 2 weeks ago. I have received nothing from anyone. It looks to me like a continuing game of dodge and weave in order to cover up a very shameful saga. Now, with regard to the financial aspects of this saga, I have a number of examples of discrepancies in numbers, and the discrepancies in numbers continue to occur. The most recent memorandum from Mr. Wong has changed a correction to the financials, with no explanation of what led to the correction or what led to the erroneous numbers, but it shows that the expenditures to date for capital project number 11-054 totaled $397,020, but that was revised downward. And that former figure was comprised, is said to be comprised, of expenditures, actual expenditures of $412,020. So was the $412,000 figure revised or not? The two are related in the staff report 2018-78, but only one appears to have been revised, so there's no explanation of that revision. In another instance, which came to light recently, the Wayside Pit financial implications, which was published prior to the taking on or the approval of this pit, it shows here they were expecting to get 144,000 tons. Well, we only got 123,000 thereabouts, but that's not the issue. The issue is that it states on this document, I can't look at it. It shows on this document. Yeah. It shows that the cost of processing is somewhere between $1.50 a ton and $2.25 a ton. But in the memorandum, I believe, that's where it is. Shows that it shows between $10 and $15 a ton is what it would cost to process the pit run that was excess to the needs of the road projects and was sold for $1.16 a ton. So in one instance, we're being told that it costs $1.50 to $2.25 a ton. In another instance, we're being told it costs $10 to $15 a ton to process. So I, amongst other people, have very little confidence in the numbers that we're being given. How many other errors of this nature are being published and distributed to us? So somebody after me is going to be talking more in more detail, someone more qualified to talk about numbers than I am. And so I'll leave you with a final question. Will you permit this sorry episode to be swept under the rug, or will you support Mr. Sinclair's request, which he made in documents sent to you prior to this meeting, his request for an independent audit? And that audit, we would request that it happen before September 1st. You all know what is right. Please just do it. Thank you. Okay. Any questions?
No questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Shopton, for your time. I'll now call upon Paul Revelle to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning June 26, 2018 General Committee Report concerning Staff Report 2018-78, McLaren Wayside Pit, update regarding financial costs. You have 10 minutes.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, councillors, and everyone. I started this a few years ago. The numbers just didn't seem to add up, and it threw me for a loop. I was wondering why we ever did something like this wayside pit. And it's clear to me that it's not really a benefit to the town at all. Lafarge, now picture this. This is the pit, the two Lafarge pits are on both sides of this pyramid-type structure. And in the center here is our road allowance. That's how much we own of the gravel. And on either side, so ours is 20 meters wide times a very long stretch. Lafarge has 30 meters on either side, and they have a subsidence of 30 meters on either side that, when you add them together, is equivalent to, you know, 30 plus 30 plus 30 is 90 to our 20. So when you do all this, remember, Lafarge can't operate without getting our permission to use that road allowance. You would think that when they're getting a benefit that's so many times what we're getting, we would get some kind of benefit, like maybe free crushing and aggregate. Instead, we got nothing. We basically paid fair market value. And I, roughly using the numbers, their benefit was $4.6 million, and the original estimate for us was about $1 million that this was supposed to save us. So, and then this is the update to the wayside pit here. And I'm sorry it's a little bit hard to read, but basically there were only two authorized uses for the wayside pit. And make it bigger. Oh, perfect. Thank you. There are only two construction projects that were identified for it, but we really didn't need it because I understand our own town pits were filled up at the time. So here we actually only used 18% for town projects instead of the 82% that was basically given away. To me, it just doesn't make any sense. And then when you look at how much we paid for it, it seems that, you know, we sold the pit run, which includes both grade A gravel and grade B gravel, for $1.16. And, well, yes, it needs to be crushed to make it, but we paid $8.39 to get our own gravel crushed. And they already had the gravel in there. They already had the machinery there to do it. And then you step back and say, why did we do this in the first place? I could say a lot more about this, but, you know, this just didn't make any sense. You know, when I went there, I noticed the subsidence were actually steeper than the allowed 3-to-1 ratio already. The measured road allowance, when I went there, was supposed to be 20 meters. It was narrower already. You know, we were going to spend $650,000 for extraction and crushing, and we were supposed to save $100,000 out of this. And that just doesn't make any sense in total. And to make a long story short, we started this whole process back when I actually was going to run for council a few years ago, and it's taken us till now to get through the Freedom of Information Act to get some information on it. And it still doesn't add up to me. So I agree there's been a dangerous precedent set here. And I think that, you know, to exonerate people here or let people know what's going on, I think an independent audit is absolutely called for in this case. And it should be done before the election.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy has a question.
Yes.
Of the delegation. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, Steve. Or Paul.
I may not have heard you. Did you say what you did for a living?
I am an accountant, yes.
You're an accountant?
Yes, I do large corporation taxes primarily.
Okay. So you're a numbers guy.
I'm a numbers guy. Yeah. And there were a lot of numbers questions that maybe if you and one could explain or someone on council could explain, but, you know, we're doing the best with the numbers we were given, and they were changing constantly. You know, how much it costs to crush us, crush the gravel. But you have to remember all this equipment is sitting there, and we're supplying it. So it should be dirt cheap. We should be paying $2 to get it crushed. It's our own gravel. And we're giving them $4.6 million worth of gravel.
I have a question.
They can access.
Did you notice, because now, I'm sorry, I got a really rotten cold. Did you notice whether Lafarge shared in the cost of all the studies and that, or did the town of Caledon pay for it all themselves?
Town of Caledon paid for all that, the initial ones. Then there were, do I have that? The initial fees were set by us, but then there were some miscellaneous ones, like we actually changed the Bruce Trail. It had to go around another way for that, and Lafarge picked that up.
Okay.
So there were some incidental costs, but to basically get it going, it was town council. And we initiated this whole thing, and it really doesn't make any sense because, as I said, we apparently already had the gravel in our town pits. We didn't really need it, and we didn't use it on the projects that are a requirement for a wayside pit. A wayside pit's a very special thing. And we changed the designation of this road allowance to a wayside pit, and now it's back again to a road allowance. I don't know how we do all that, but it just seems very odd.
So, when it comes to aggregate, I know you were part of PitSense at one point,
and I still am. I'm a director of PitSense, but
okay.
That's not.
I didn't know that. Okay. Do you trust the town of Caledon with regards to what we do with aggregate?
Well, you have to realize that we're sitting between us and Orangeville is basically the water reserves for all of southern Ontario. It all starts here. It goes down, you know, it goes east. It goes west to Lake Huron. Goes down to Lake Erie. Goes down to Lake Ontario. If pits are dug deeper than they should be, we've got some serious consequences. We realize gravel is very important. It has to be. It's a construction material, and we need it. But we have to be so careful with it, and to, you know, for gravel pits to take over something, you know, I thought it was very close to the water table where they were digging, and as you know, there was a Food First whole pit that was actually quashed at one point because it was going to go right down to the water table. It was going to be deeper than Niagara Gorge. That's how deep they were going to go. And we get a lot of acid rain, and that's all buffered by limestone and all the gravel. So you take that away, and we've got a serious problem, and they're going to be pointing fingers at us for not managing this properly.
Great. Thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul. Does anybody want to bring anything forward on the memos? Councillor Shaughnessy?
Well, I think we should. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. I think we should bring anything having to do with those reports forward. I do have a motion, but after what I've heard from the delegates, I'd like to actually even revise my own referral.
Okay. All right. So I do have, sorry, I have some motions here, so my apologies. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor McClure, that June 26, 2018 General Committee report recommendation regarding staff 2018-78 regarding McLaren Wayside Pit update regarding financial costs be adopted. Okay. That's the financial cost. I got one on the rehabilitation.
No, I was referring that back to staff.
Isn't that
Sorry.
I have a referral.
So this is, all right, so the financial cost one is the first one I've got. It's all in a pro, we've got them all numbered here.
Okay.
So what I've done is I've put it on the floor. So if you want to refer it back to staff, and what's your...
But I would like to amend that.
Okay.
So, yes, I do want it referred back to staff, but I think the two gentlemen pointed out about the audit, and I think and I know we don't have a council meeting, but it could also come out as a memorandum or a notice to council or something, because I'm sure we're still going to get information about doing an audit on the financials. I think that's really important to the residents, and there seems to be an awful lot of discrepancies, and I think to put some of the fears to rest, I think we should do that audit. So I'd like to refer it back to staff, but also refer it back to staff to also include an audit in that, and then we'll count on staff whether they could actually provide that by the September 1st, I think the gentleman said. Is that possible?
Mr. Wong? Or Mr. Galloway?
If council, through you, Mr. Mayor, if council wishes to, I'm just thinking again, there's been a few items tonight, probably because it's the last council meeting, where there has been no information given ahead of time by a number of members of council. So we're working on the fly here, trying to assist you in some way, some meaningful way. I would say that, if I could have that, Mr. Mayor, if you wanted to amend it, you may say something to the effect that, is that the whole recommendation? Oh, okay. So the recommendation in the report, in your agenda, is that the Town of Caledon not proceed with wayside pits in the future as noted in staff report 2018-78. So that's the overriding.
Yeah, this motion. One here.
So this specific one, that the June 26, 2018 General Committee meeting report recommendation regarding staff report 2018-78 regarding McLaren Wayside Pit regarding financial costs be adopted. So what you're saying is to defer it back to staff and maybe the, and therefore, be it resolved or however the clerk wants to word it, that staff investigate cost and timing on an audit of wayside pits. Something to that effect.
Something to that effect.
At least it gives them the opportunity because, first of all, I don't think your timing is probably going to coincide. There's 10 years worth of information on this, right? So to say to an auditing firm or have it done internally, whatever the case may be, you're going to be paying a little bit of money. I'm not sure it might be reasonable, so I wouldn't commit to that right now, but maybe what you ask staff is to investigate the potential of an audit firm to conduct this work and report back to council sometime, within the next 60 days or something like that. At least it gives you something to work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that's the best I can do on the fly here if you're looking at putting something of an amendment forward.
That's okay. Better than nothing.
So do we have a seconder for the audit? Councillor Groves,
thank you.
Ethan, you can't type as fast as I say, or? Yeah.
Moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Groves, that the staff report back 2018-80 to refer back to staff. That staff investigate the potential of an independent audit of the McLaren Wayside Pit and report back to Council with the information on the costing and the scope within 60 days. All in favor? Carried. Okay, now this is, so now we go back to the original. That's the amended part. So back to the amended, the refer, so it was referred. It's referred back, so we're done. We're done, done.
Yes.
Right. Okay, the next one here. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor DeBoer, that June 26, 2018, General Committee report, recommendation regarding staff report 2018-80 regarding McLaren Pit update regarding rehabilitation being adopted. And this is the second part to it, moved by amendment, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Beffert, the staff report 2018-80 referred back to staff to investigate the issues raised by the June 26, 2018 delegation on this matter. All in favor? Carried. Back on the full motion. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor McClure, that June 26, 2018 General Committee report recommendations following consent items be adopted. Staff report 2018-71, April 18th. Operating budget variance report. Staff report 2018-86 regarding community transportation grant program. Staff report 2018-85, Town of Caledon Township of King Boundary Road Maintenance Agreement. Accessibility Advisory Committee report dated May 24, 2018. Accessibility Advisory Committee report dated June 14, 2018. Cheltenham Badlands Parking Enforcement. Confidential staff report regarding 2018-19 proposed pending disposition of land by the town portion of Five Side Road, Ward 5. Confidential staff report regarding proposed pending acquisition of land by the municipality expropriation of Grange Road. Confidential staff report 2018-20 litigation affecting the municipality Simpson Road litigation update. Staff report 2018-21 regarding a proposed pending acquisition of land of municipality Dufferin County Courthouse OPP lease. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Innes, that June 26, 2018 General Committee report recommendation regarding staff report 2018-79 regarding proposed community safety zone design be adopted. And we have amendment here. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Innes, the following paragraph be added, that Elwood Drive East between Queen Street South Regional Road 50 and Allen Drive. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I totally support this, but I had a question on the report. So shall I just let this amendment go first through and then?
Yeah, we'll vote on the amendment and then I'll ask
that's
you.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Thank you.
Just hang on.
Yep.
All right.
Fine.
All in favor of the amendment? Okay. Carried. Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. In the report, I think it was page 2, and of course I'm not going to get it up fast enough, but it had to do with reviewing other opportunities, not just school safety zones, but other community areas that might qualify. So I'm going to ask Mr. Wong about timelines on that particular part of the, I think it was on page 2, Mr. Wong, of the report. It referred to that you were going to further investigate. I just need some clarity on that, please.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So Bill 65, the Safer School Zones Act, allows for automatic speed enforcement to be implemented in community safety zones. And as we reported to Council previously, the town is working on a working group, province-wide working group, on automatic speed enforcement. As part of this work, the working group identified a consistent definition for community safety zones. And the group is working on this consistent definition province-wide. So So before we actually extend it to other things, the group has to work on this so that it is consistent across the province. And as noted, I believe on page 2 of that report, this work will take at least 2 years to get through all of the intricacies related to ASEs and automatic speed enforcement and community safety zones.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much. That's just what I needed to hear. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay. No further. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor DeBoer, that June 26, 2018 General Committee report regarding beautifying village cores through the municipality be adopted. And I have an amendment here moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Groves, that the following paragraph be added, that staff investigate expanding municipal agricultural community grant program to develop a new grant program to fund the beautification efforts in the village cores and report back to council as part of the 2019 budget. Okay, all in favor? Carried. Back to the original motion. All in favor? Yeah. Opposed? Show of hands. All in favor? That's better. Thank you. Move again. Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that the June 26, 2018 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Staff report 2018-54 regarding preparing the legalization of recreational cannabis. Staff report 2018-72 regarding the award of contract of 2018-56 construction of various roads. The Mona Mills anniversary meeting with the ministry regarding aggregate facility rehabilitation, neighborhood watch program signs. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor McClure. He's back, good. June 26, 2018, Planning and Development Committee meeting report be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure.
Through all the items now.
Yes. June 26, 2018, Planning Development Committee meeting report recommendations regarding the following item consent items be adopted. Staff report 2018-84 regarding proposed zoning amendment 1544216 Ontario Limited, 12700 Regional Road 50, Ward 5. Staff report 2018-83 proposed zoning bylaw amendment. Remove holding H symbol on 2007-9618 Ontario, parts lots 1, concession 6, Albion designated 4, plan 43-32249. Staff report 2018-77 regarding proposed Rogers Communications Tower, 18501 Mississauga Road, Ward 2. Staff report regarding 76 regarding proposed bylaw amendment of Mayfield West Stage 2 Community-Wide Zoning Framework Ward 2. Staff report 2018. I got to finish and then I'll let you have your floor here. Hang on. Staff report 2018-75 proposed draft plan subdivision official plan amendment zoning bylaw applications Ward 3. Staff report 2018-65 Mayfield West Phase 2 Stage 2 initiate local official plan amendment process. Heritage Caledon report dated June 11, 2018. Request to demolish a structure on Heritage List property 19721 Main Street, Alton Ward 1. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm just going to go back to, and I need some clarification from the clerk on staff report number 2018-76. So we passed a motion regarding the whole interchange in that. So how does that fit into this?
Doesn't.
Doesn't? Thank you. I'm good with that.
Okay.
I have another one.
Okay. What's that one? Yeah, your other one?
I have another one. This is with regards to staff report 2018-65, and that is the Mayfield West Phase 2, Stage 2, initiate local official plan amendment process. I have some concerns with moving forward. I understand that the developers are funding this, but I do have some concerns, and the concerns that I have is that we're moving forward with a local official plan amendment when the region appeal hasn't completed its work on this particular matter, because this is looking for additional population allocation within the 2041 timeframe, which the region has not done, the region is not doing. So I have some real concerns here. So the way I look at this is we're putting the cart before the horse. The region is the upper tier municipality, and under the new growth plan, the province has asked, or actually the province has said, the region will be the one to determine this next process, initiating an MCR, doing all of that. So I do have concerns. I did not support this at the region appeal. This sort of reminds me of when we did, when this council voted to support a secondary plan on option 3 during the time that the region was doing, going through its review process. And at the end of that review process, option number 3 was not recommended. So I look at this the same way.
Councillor Groves, I really think you're... How about we let Ms. Tollett clarify this?
No, I'm not finished. So Ms. Tollett can respond after I'm done. So I have a concern. I voted against this at the region appeal. It was made very clear at the region. So I'm going to be consistent. We haven't even completed the 2041 work at the region, and we're doing a local official plan amendment. And I know that it's probably to say, oh, it's okay to start the process, but I rather see the process following the proper order. So I am not going to support this, and I will hear what Ms. Tollett has to say. Thank you.
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. So in order to move the development over, so realistically this area was supposed to always develop stage 2 or phase 2. So in doing this work, it's not getting really a cart for a horse. It's always meant to be growing in this area. The region is aware that we're doing the work. What we're trying to do is do the work coinciding with the region. So as the region is doing their work with the growth management, the town will be starting the work on the LOPA process. The work from the LOPA process is entirely the risk of the developers by doing it forward. Once they finish, the region finishes the growth management, then the LOPA process can continue and finalize after that point. So instead of waiting until 2022, by the time the region finishes their ROPA and their growth management, and then starting the LOPA, which would be another couple of years, we're kind of working coinciding with the region. Similar to our official plan amendment, so as with the town's reviewing our official plan, we're working in conjunction with the region so that when the region's done, ours will be done the year right after, and then everything can be approved kind of on the same time frame instead of making it a longer process. So it's just trying to streamline the process to be a little more efficient as opposed to waiting until later. So we did speak to the region a couple times about this to see if they were agreeable. And again, as long as the developers are taking the risk, which they have to take the risk by doing the work in advance, then that is the risk that they have to take, and that's why the report was written that they would have to fund these studies.
I understand that, and thank you for the explanation, Ms. Tollett. I think we debated this quite a bit at the region, and I certainly understand this. I've been dealing with this for a long time now. However, I still have a concern, and here we are. We're moving phase two, stage two forward. We still have Bolton that hasn't even received its 2031 population. And in the meantime, I'm just going to remind you how many businesses have closed in the last month downtown. I think we've had about 4 close downtown Bolton. So, you know, I have a real concern. I represent Bolton, and I need to represent Bolton here and its interest. And I can tell you, you can go all over social media and you will see concerns on on how Bolton feels. So we are, here we are. We've got 2031 numbers that were given to Bolton. It's at the board, and nobody seems to really care that it's going to take I don't know how long at the board. But we're trying to now move into stage two, and I hear what you're saying, that stage two should have been in there. Yes, it should have been, but it got caught in Places to Grow. And Places to Grow is the one that governs, the province governs this. So I still think we're putting the cart before the horse because this work isn't done at the region. The regional council decision made it very, very clear, and I supported that, and I hear we're trying to move this forward. Mayfield West, phase two, stage one, has 10,000 that they haven't even done anything with yet. Bolton has nothing, but we're moving forward on stage two. I'm sorry, I can't support it, and I'm going to ask for a recorded vote. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, so I've just written a couple of notes here. Have we ever worked on a LOPA before having an MCR done?
To you, Mayor Thompson, I really don't know. I can't really speak to that.
The reason being is because this is so different before. Yes, it was done in a different form, but how the province has recommended an MCR is much different. But what we're doing is moving everything it's moving everything together in one full. Everything's moving in tandem or triple, and that's
okay.
The way anything should be done. So,
okay. So, what are the risks? Because the region now does the MCR. So what is the risk? I know I see that you're saying that the developer pays the money for the studies, but do our staff not do anything? Do they analyze it? What if the MCR says, no, we're not putting the population there, it's going to go someplace else, and staff have spent all this time reviewing these studies, and then we have to come back and the MCR says, no, we're not putting the population there. And I think what Councillor Groves is saying, I see here the cart before the horse, but shouldn't we know what the MCR says before we...
Ms. Tollett, I don't think they understand at all what we're doing here.
Mr. Mayor, I totally understand it.
I don't think you do.
What I'm concerned, actually I take offense to that, what I'm concerned about is that they do their studies, And staff review them, and then the MCR happens, and we don't put the population there, then staff have wasted their time reviewing studies and being a participant in that. So I want to know if that has ever happened before, because I'm quite aware how the MCR works.
Mr. Galloway.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. I don't think it's fair to be asking the question of staff today, at least, and maybe the answer could be forthcoming at a later date, because you're talking decades worth of history. So has it ever been done? What Ms. Tollett is saying is, I don't know, because I think she'd have to filter back through many, many records to answer that question. But on the other question, as it relates to, you know, do we, and if I'm understanding your question correctly, if you're saying, should we be engaged and give input to the process, but yet the region may not listen to us. If that's really condensed sort of the question that you're asking, I'd say it's still worth it, because there's many things we could probably point to just over the last, you know, term of council where staff here at the town of Caledon has put in some work, and the region hasn't agreed with every point that we've come back to them with. And they've made their own decisions. Some of them have been contrary to our thinking at the town. Some of them have been complimentary, but that's just a democratic process. I don't know, Ms. Tollett, do you want to add anything else to that as it relates to the process itself?
So to you, Mayor Thompson, to the CEO. So realistically, this population was always meant to go there. In order to make this a complete community, is what we've talked about, what the province has asked us for, is to finish this Mayfield Stage 2. So they've already completed justification report and several studies. Staff have supported that and so have the region. As part of the MCR process, the region is supporting in this and bringing it forward. The only purpose of this report is to start doing some of the study works that are done after AROPA instead of waiting until that process comes forward. If not, you're waiting several years to finish a community that should have been finished a long time ago. So the whole purpose of this is really just to streamline the process of planning. As you know, planning takes several years to get certain things done, so this is just a streamlining process. And it was recommended by the region and town staff.
Okay.
Okay.
So hold on. I think what we'll do it in an easier way here. How about we break this one out from all the others, so that we can vote on the one, and then that way we voted on separately to go forward. Okay. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's fine. I hear what Ms. Tollett says, but when we do an MCR now, we have to look at the whole, they have to look at the whole region, not just Caledon. They have to look at everything, right? So, okay, so we don't know whether we've ever looked at doing a LOPA before doing an MCR. I was just concerned that staff are going to have to do double the amount of work. I don't want to say white belt visioning, but we jumped on that and then we stopped it because we were ahead of ourselves and wasted taxpayers' money there, and it's never come back to us. So that's, I think, what Councillor Groves was worried about, and that's too what I'm worried about. And I do understand about them going side by side, but I'm also worried about wasting staff time if it never happens, and I don't have the answer to that. So break it out. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to call the question on everything but that, okay?
And that's on the board.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I think I understand the process. I've been around here for a while. We had the discussion about the whole MCR process at the region, and really at the province is asking that everything, it be one MCR. The region has requested from the province that we separate out the MCRs. I don't think the province has come back to us on that yet either. So, yes, I do have a concern, and I'm going to state it again. We put in $280,000 to do a secondary plan on option number 3 while the process was under review at the region, and the region decided that was not the way to go. My understanding is that under the Planning Act and the way the planning works is before you can do a local official plan amendment, you must have a regional official plan amendment. That's the process under the Planning Act. So I still believe that we are putting the cart before the horse. I understand and I hear what the mayor has said. I hear what Ms. Tollett has said. And with all due respect, I'm going to disagree. And I think that we need to follow process, because I think what this is doing, it's predetermining what the outcome is going to be. I don't know what the outcome is going to be at the region. That's going to be dealt with the new council. So I think that this is just predetermining. And I continue to hear, yes, this should have been in there. Unfortunately, it wasn't in there because it got caught in Places to Grow and under the new Places to Grow. We should have done years ago what Brampton did with Northwest Brampton before the first Places to Grow came in, and that is take everything in and work through it separately. But we missed the boat. So here we are again. And I will say it is putting the cart before the horse. A ROPA needs to happen before a LOPA. Thank you.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through Mayor Thompson. I think there's been a lot of reference to the regional report that was supported, I believe, unanimously. I think the confusion lies within that report, in that the report was outlining the implications of the province's draft, but also outlined the region's position. Therefore, what we're working on and the mandate that we're working towards in this process is actually in line with the region's position on that matter and what they're now discussing with the province. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Councillor Innes.
call the question.
Okay. So this is on everything but the Mayfield West initial local official plan. Okay, all in favor? Everything but. Yeah, carried. All right, now I need someone to move and second this Mayfield West. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor McClure. Okay. Any discussion on this part? I think we've discussed it enough. You want a recorded vote here, Councillor Groves?
I do.
Okay. Okay. Fire away.
Thank you.
It's a recorded vote.
That vote and that report at the region, it wasn't all supported unanimously. We spoke specifically and broke it out into the MCR with phase two, stage two. So I want to just make that clear. And that was not supported. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called on the motion. All those in favor, please stand. Councillor Innes, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Beffert, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer. All those opposed, please stand. Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Groves. Motion carried.
Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure, that June 26, 2018 Planning Development Committee meeting report recommendations regarding the following items be adopted. Staff report 2018-73, proposed zoning bylaw amendment, Cambrium Farms, proposed wedding venue, 81 Charleston, Ward 1. Staff report 2018-82, proposed draft subdivision zoning amendment applications, Villaligerio Residences, 9023 Fifth Side Road, Ward 5. All in favor? Okay. All in favor again, because we're really, okay, carried. Correspondence. Is there any correspondence that anybody wants brought forward? Which memo? Fire hall. Does anybody want an enclosed session on the fire hall? We have to? Okay, we have to go into closed session about it. Yeah, we have to.
So through you, Mr. Mayor. So no, there is a report in closed session. If you have questions about the fire hall memo, that is different.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Yep.
Thank you. So there's been a lot of discussion and concerns regarding the fire hall and what's happening, and I can't find the memo in this package of papers that I have. But the one thing that I want to ask, I can't find the memo. I don't know where it is in here. But the one thing that I'd like to ask is, because there's been a lot of concerns in the public, and I know not everybody reads these packages and reads these memos, is there a way for us to communicate something, put something out there?
I'm going to go to Mr. Wong or Mr. Galloway. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought the question was going to be more about the logistics. But as far as communicating, if you want us to communicate the information in the memo a little bit more fuller to the public, Mr. Arbuckle and I can work on putting it on the website, as well as maybe even utilizing some space in our town page, just to give a briefer message, obviously, on the startup date, which in the memo, if you had it in front of you,
find it.
is August.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Galloway. And I think Thank you, Ethan. I think that would be a really good thing because folks are asking what's happening, when is it going to, you know, they see the security van over there and nothing's moving. So if there is an opportunity just to communicate it to the broader public, then that would be great. And you know what, and I will put this on my social media as well. If I get an electronic copy of that memo just separate from the package, I can post it so that a lot of questions get answered by the public. Thank you.
Okay. All right. No further correspondence? Okay. We need to go into closed session. The council will go into confidential section under 239 of the Municipal Act. Confidential report 2018-22, proposed pending disposition of land of the municipality or lease agreement with the Region Appeal for fire emergency services located at 14002 Regional Road 50. All in favor? Carried. Okay. So, pardon me? You moved by Befford and Downey. Motions resulting from confidential session, confidential staff report 2018-22 regarding the proposed pending disposition of land by the municipality lease agreement with the Region Appeal for Fire Emergency Services located at 14002 Regional Road 50. Moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor Boer, that the mayor and clerk be authorized to enter in a lease agreement with the Region Appeal with the new fire hall located at 14002 Regional Road 50. Attached Schedule A to staff 2018-55, subject to any minor technical changes that is may be required prior to execution. All in favor? Carried. So, Councillor Groves, I'll start with you. You're the acting mayor. Is there any announcements?
Okay, so August 10th is the Midnight Madness event in Bolton. So I'm just inviting everybody to come out and join us and put the word out there to your communities as well. It's going to be a fun event. We're actually doing it from the South Hill, so we'll include the businesses on the South Hill. We'll have a car and bike show at the Albion Bolton Community Center, Diamond Towing. They are doing a car and bike show to raise some money with proceeds going to Caledon Meals on Wheels. So have people come out, and if you guys want to put it out there in your correspondence, just to encourage people to come out, support Caledon Meals on Wheels, and really support the businesses in Bolton. And then we'll have the party downtown Bolton.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Downey.
Yes, thanks for you, Mayor Thompson. Just a quick one, the Terracotta Community Center Golf Tournament is August 16th at Eagle Ridge Golf Course, and the dinner follows at the Terracotta Inn. There are, no, that doesn't apply. I was just going to mention the fees for a foursome, and then you can go in for dinner as well afterwards. Thanks. Okay.
Councillor Befford.
yes, starting next Sunday, the much-heralded PGA Tournament will be taking place at Osprey Golf Course, a McKenzie tour. It will run from Sunday until the following Sunday. On Tuesday, there will be a pro-am, and then the regular. We have a lot of people in up in Ward 1 who are hosting, billeting some of these golfers, so it stands to be a really good week.
Okay. Councillor McClure, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor Groves, you had one more.
Sorry. Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I do. I have one more. Chess Place Youth Center, we are hosting, and for all of you here, we have a young lady in Bolton, and she's running a program for, I guess, the kids that are in high school, so from grade 9 to grade 12, on just helping them to overcome anxiety, depression, things like that, because they struggle with this in the school system. So we're running a program. It's actually starting tomorrow. It's 7 sessions. Chess Place will be funding. We have 15 students that we can pay for. So if any of you know any students that would be interested in signing up for the program, and maybe Mr. Arbuckle, I don't know if you can put something through your communications department, then that would be great. Thank you.
Councillor You have any anything on inquiries? No inquiries? None? Okay. We're going to move on to bylaws because we may not need to have the next motion to go past 11 o'clock. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure. The following bylaws be read first time and passed. Bylaw 2018-57, bylaw to amend 2015-58, the bylaw to regulate the use of highways, parking on highways. Oh, there's two amendments. Moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor McClure. The Schedule L and to B L to BL 2015-58 to amend to include Elwood Drive East between Queen Street South and Regional Road 50 to Allen Drive, which we had. Okay. And number two, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, second by Councillor Befford. Schedule F, bylaw 2015-58 to amend to read McLaughlin Road from the Forks of the Credit R11 to 100 meters north of McCall Drive to 60 kilometers and McLaren Road from 100 meters north of McCall Drive to Old Baseline RR12 to 40 kilometers an hour. Okay. I'll call the question on all of these. I have to do them individually? Made me read them all out. Now I got to do them individually. All right. So this one first. Oh, so it's all continued to one. All right, the amendments. So, Councillor Shaughnessy and Befford's amendment, all in favor? Carried. The amendment on Elwood Drive East, all in favor? Carried. Back to the original motion or amendment or the bylaw, all in favor? Carried. Okay. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor McClure. The following bylaws be read the first time and passed. Bylaw 2018-58 to bylaw 2018-74. All in favor? All in favor? Carried. Do I have to sign them all? Okay. Moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Innes. That the following bylaws be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2018-76, bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the Council for the Corporation of the Town of Caledon for its Council meeting held the 10th day of July 2018. All in favor? Carried. Okay, Council, one thing I got to say, it's... I know we've had our little spats and that whatever, but I got to tell you, you guys have been great. We've been we've got a lot done. Have a safe summer out there, and thanks for all the good work that you've put forward. We've got a good work plan, a lot done. Thank you, everybody. Councillor McClure, you want to call adjournment? Okay, thank you.